Hello and welcome back to the Finding Your Feet podcast, a podcast show dedicated to helping you get closer to your true, authentic self by helping you find your feet in life. This is episode 37.
Welcome, guys. We did tell you it was episode 37 last week. We just can't count. So it is actually episode 37. No more lies about the numbers. Welcome back. Today, we are talking about your subconscious mind, your limiting beliefs, and how they might be holding you back in life, because we've actually done an episode about this before really early on in the birth of the podcast. It was one of the early ones. And obviously it's been a while and we've actually learned so much more about this, the power of the mind. And we're revisiting it today, but on a whole new level, because we've got some serious juicy knowledge for you to share as we have further developed our knowledge about the subconscious mind.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like we've really immersed ourselves in it lately, and I can already see it transforming our lives, like the knowledge that we've learned recently compared to like a while ago. So we're really excited to share with you this knowledge so you can start changing your life today. Not even joking.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. The title of this episode is Change Your Beliefs, Change Your Life, for a reason, because your belief system literally runs your life. And if you can get a hold of it and make sure that it's an empowering, positive, productive belief system rather than a limiting, negative, self-sabotaging belief system, your life is going to be very, very different. So yeah, that's why I'm so passionate about it and just can't wait to get into it. It's going to be very juicy. But before we start, it's Apple Podcast Review of the Week time. So we've got a cute little review this week from Chloe. 5 stars, obsessed. One of my favorite podcasts to discover in 2020. So many of the episodes resonate and I love the positivity the girls spread.
Oh, thank you, Chloe. That's lovely.
Yes, thank you. Beautiful review. For your chance to be featured in the review of the week next week, where we read out your Apple Podcast review at the beginning of the show, then just go to Apple Podcasts and leave us some feedback in the review section and we might read yours out. We love the reviews. We appreciate every single one, every single person who takes the time to leave us the feedback. Never goes unnoticed. Thank you very much, everyone who does that. And if you're going to do it, thank you.
Yeah, go and let us know your thoughts. Even if it's just one word, we would love to know what you think.
Mm-hmm. And before we begin the episode, we've just got a quick word from the people that make this podcast possible, our sponsor, BetterHelp. So we are so proud to be partnering up with a company whose mission it is to help you start living a happier life from today.
Yes, BetterHelp is a professional online counseling service and it sets you up with a therapist in under 48 hours. They have a huge range of expertise, which makes it much easier to find the right therapist for you. And then even if it turns out that you're not too keen on the therapist you're set with, you can just change for free.
Yes, it's a professional online secure counseling service available for clients all over the world. You can access your account at any time and contact your therapist and always receive a quick response. You can easily set up weekly video or phone sessions with your therapist and get the support you need from the comfort of your own home. No awkward waiting rooms, no traveling to your appointments. You don't need to see anyone in person. You can literally do it from your bedroom, which is absolutely perfect, especially given the fact that we're in the third lockdown in the UK right now. And it's a tough time. It's been hard, a lot to deal with last year and coming into 2021 as well with this third lockdown. So you can get professional counseling, therapy, support literally from the comfort of your own home, which is ideal for the current COVID climate.
Yeah, I think it's fabulous that you can even have access to things like this. It's honestly amazing. And another great thing is that it's way more affordable than your traditional offline counseling. And there are over 1 million people using BetterHelp today. They also receive really, really good reviews online. You can go and check them out for yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews.
Yes. And as you all know, because it's something that we have discussed openly on the podcast before, I've invested in therapy a few times in my time as a young adult, finding my feet, and it's literally been life-changing for me. There is no better investment than investing in yourself. Any money that you spend on therapy, you get it back times 10 through improved relationships, friendships, confidence, and all that good energy and improved sense of self spills out into your like even your earning potential and how much money you can earn through work and maybe starting a business and everything, because you just feel so much better and you just operate at a much better level as you level up through therapy. And we know that so many of you that listen to our podcast really want to level up your own life and take charge of your mental health. So if you would like some support and guidance from a professional counselor or therapist from doing this, then join BetterHelp. And they are very kindly giving our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. So it is, as Abby said, way more affordable than traditional offline counseling. Just to give you a picture of how much more affordable it is, the last time I went to therapy was the end of 2019. And for 1 hour session is what will cost you for 4 hours session of BetterHelp. So say you go for a month of therapy with BetterHelp, 1 hour a week, so 4 hours. The cost of that is literally the cost that I paid for 1 hour. But had I known BetterHelp existed at the time, I probably would have made a different choice. Because it's just because it's significantly cheaper doesn't mean that is any less high quality service. It's, there's literally millions of therapists on there. They get you to take a quiz before you start your account with them, so they can get a really clear picture about who you are, what are your needs, what do you need help with, so they can match you with someone that's got the expertise that is the perfect match for you. That's why they let you swap your therapist if you don't vibe with them, because they've got so many available on there. They know that they will find the perfect one for you, which is also a very important part of getting the most out of therapy, is liking your therapist. So if you want to take advantage of the offer and get 10% off your first month, just go to the link betterhelp.com/findyourfeet. That's betterhelp.com/findyourfeet. We will leave the link in the show notes. You can easily go and get started through that. But there's honestly no shame in therapy. It's literally like taking your mind to the gym. If you need some support and guidance, you are worth investing a little bit of money to get that. But that's all for now. If you have any questions about BetterHelp, please do come DM us on Instagram and we'll speak to you about it. But they're an amazing company and we're very proud to have them as our podcast sponsor. But let's get on with the episode.
Okay, so as we said, this week we are revisiting the topic of your subconscious mind, limiting beliefs, and how changing your beliefs can really change your life. Because recently, as we said, we have been immersed into this whole kind of like deeper understanding of the subconscious mind and how you can really use that to control your reality. And it's truly fascinating. And we talk about it all the time. So we definitely wanted to come and update you on our knowledge.
Yeah, it's like an ever growing stream of knowledge that we just keep accumulating all about this and the subconscious mind and your beliefs, because your beliefs honestly run your life. So they're a very important thing to nail down and understand so that you can be the masters of your own life and fully be in control of creating the reality that you want and living feeling great. So we've become like mini neuroscientists. We've been reading studies. We've really gone to a whole new level with our understanding of the subconscious mind and limiting beliefs. So we're excited to share that with you.
Yeah. And I feel like even though we've learned so much, I feel like we said, there's so much to learn, and that makes me even more excited. Like when we listen to like different podcasts, and we've been ordering some new books that like go onto it on a much deeper level, and it just makes you think like, wow, I can literally like control my life. Like no one's taught this in school, but we are here to teach you this.
Yeah. And there's a lot of like new information emerging now as well in terms of like neuroscience, neuroplasticity, all that. All these studies on that are really quite recent, only in the last, you know, few years. I think they only discovered it 50 years ago. But then if you think about the rest of the things in our body, they obviously knew that they were present way before 50 years ago. So it's still quite a new area of research, but it's absolutely fascinating. And it's really interesting is how, like, that there is actually neuroscientists out there and psychologists that are fully linking the studies between neuroplasticity and your manifesting powers and everything. And, you know, for those skeptics of things like that, it really helps to understand it more and fully understand your own biology and what's going on, so that you can work with your body, like work with your mind rather than working against it, because you know, the more you understand about yourself, like the more you can just work with yourself and be in flow of how you actually naturally function as a human.
Yeah, exactly. Like learning this is going to create just a better life all around. I think it's such an exciting time to be alive.
It is. It is.
Yeah, so it's really interesting when you start to understand your subconscious mind, where these thoughts come from and how much of your subconscious mind actually runs the show. So as we said, we've been researching a lot lately, and you guys may know or you may not know, but the reason why this is so important is because you manifest from your subconscious mind, and whatever is in your subconscious mind, those thoughts are like they reflect your reality and that becomes your life. So it's really, really important to understand what your subconscious mind is, what kind of thoughts stay there, and how you can change it. And that's what we're going to give you really practical tips for. But we're also going to fill you with a little bit of science, which is actually going to be really interesting. Just to start it off, so then you understand where we're coming from with these subconscious thoughts and the different things that go on in your brain. So your subconscious mind, believe it or not, controls 95% of the decisions that you make, which is crazy. We think that our conscious mind runs the show, but it doesn't. It's 95% from our subconscious mind. And there was also a study undertaken at London's Goldsmiths College in which they realized that you actually make a decision 8 seconds before you realize through your subconscious mind. So your conscious mind, you think you're making a decision, but actually 8 seconds ago, you made that decision through your subconscious thoughts. So now that makes you realize how important it is to master your subconscious mind, so you really know that your thoughts are always having the best intention for you, so you can create a life that you desire.
Yes. And I'm going to hit you with some more brain facts here, but listen closely and let it sink in. Write down in your journal, write down in your notes on your phone, Google it some more if you want to hear more about this. Because ever since I learned about this, what I'm about to tell you, whenever I've been listening to any more like podcasts and things like that, like by like people like Dr. Joe Dispenza and stuff, who's someone who fully explains the neuroscience and quantum physics and everything around like your thoughts and what that generates into physical reality and within your own body. It's like fully deepened my understanding. So our brain is broken down into three major components. So the two middle layers of our brain. So if you like chop your brain in half and you're looking at your brain from like a bird's eye view, so you're looking at it from like above looking down. So there's three like major components, like three circle layers in your brain. The two middle layers are called the limbic brain. And that is the part of your brain that is responsible for all your emotions and feelings. This part of your brain cannot process any kind of language. So information like through text, words, it cannot process that. It only processes emotions and feelings. And this part of your brain drives pretty much all of your human behavior and your decision making, all just through your emotions, like your gut instinct, how you feel. That is where, that's the part of your brain where that happens. So your subconscious mind is in your limbic brain, which is why when Abby said your subconscious mind drives 95% of your decisions, that is why. The other part of your brain is the outer layer, which is called the neocortex. So that is in charge of processing language. So information, text, it can process that. It's the analytical part of your brain. It's very rational. It's your conscious mind. So it, but it doesn't drive much of your behavior or decision-making. So, you know, sometimes when you feel like you're a little bit at war with yourself, like your gut instinct, you're like, what you feel like your heart, your inner knowing and your emotional response to something is telling you one thing, but like your rational mind is telling you something else, and you feel a little bit sometimes like you're fighting against the two. That is your brain. That's your neocortex that's kind of fighting with your limbic brain. So between the emotional subconscious reaction to thing and your analytical rational thoughts. So very interesting to know that. Ever since I've realized that and researched it, it's really deepened my understanding to do with manifesting like everything. So if you're interested in like more about that, do go and Google it and do your own research into it. But it's very interesting how there's such a huge part of our brain that literally can't process language or anything, only emotions and feelings. And that is what drives pretty much all of our decision making. So that is why we're saying change your beliefs, change your life, because all of your beliefs are stored in your limbic brain, in your subconscious mind, which is driving all your decision making and all your human behavior. So if you can, you know, look at your beliefs, assess them, do they serve you, do they not, change them, which is what we're going to help you do today, give you some advice on how to change them. If you've got some limiting ones that you need to get rid of, which I'm sure you will, because all of us have some limiting beliefs, even if you've done work on like trying to mask them, we've all got things deep down in there. If you can assess them and get them in order and, you know, instill into your subconscious mind, your limbic brain, really empowering positive belief systems, your external reality will completely reflect that, because all your decision-making and human behavior will reflect empowering positive beliefs about yourself rather than limiting, negative, self-sabotaging beliefs that you're so unconscious of, you don't even realize what's going on. So it's very, very, very life-changing knowledge and work to do on yourself, because that's why we're coming back and doing this episode again, because it's something that we constantly are researching. We're constantly learning more about it because we understand the power of our own minds and how we can create the lives that we desire through working with our minds, changing your beliefs. So that's the neuroscience part of the podcast. No more science technical words to come, but very interesting.
Yeah, I think it's literally fascinating. And once you unlock the knowledge of knowing that you can control your life through your thoughts alone, you just think, wow, I can literally do anything. Okay, so a limiting belief is something that is going to stay in your subconscious mind. And these are the kind of things that you may have picked up growing up. So it might be from, say, a parent, watching a kind of relationship. It might be from school. It might be from something even a friend said. It's something that you've maybe heard, experienced, watched, or something like that, or maybe trauma. And it's actually stayed in your subconscious. And you might have thought, oh, maybe I've moved on. I've forgotten about it. It was just silly. But it's actually going to stay in your subconscious as a limiting belief. If you keep repeating that belief and keep remembering it, it is going to hold you back, especially if it's something negative. So you can also have positive limiting beliefs, but we're mainly working on the negative ones today. Also, these beliefs can be quite deep wired. So it's something that might come to you through like meditation, journaling, therapy, anything like that. They can be quite deep within you, but we're going to give you some examples today so you can kind of start to unwire what limiting beliefs you might have.
So, as Abby said, you form these belief systems. You can form positive belief systems, but all through, you know, what happened to you when you were growing up, how your parents treated you, etc. So some examples of, you know, belief systems and the behavior that they cause, a really interesting one is like about money. So a really good example. So Stephen Bartlett, who is the guy from the Diary of a CEO podcast, who we talk about basically nearly every episode, I end up bringing him up, but he's got a good podcast. But he always, when he was younger, fully assesses his belief systems in his mind and everything. He's very inquisitive with his own mind and very open about it on his podcast. And he basically, when he was growing up, his parents were always arguing about money. So he created this belief that money was evil, that it was like caused stress, that it was hard to obtain, caused a lot of arguments, and that it just wasn't good if you didn't have it. You needed money to avoid all those negative things like family arguments, all that stuff. So what's really interesting is, like, you know, sometimes some people, like a lot of people have grown up probably with parents arguing about money. It's quite a common thing for people to argue about in marriage and stuff. But, you know, a lot of people would just take that belief on and then really deeply subconsciously think, okay, money is negative. It causes arguments. It's hard to come by and it causes stress. And it's just generally not a good vibe. Because of what you observed through your parents arguing about it. And then maybe you'll go into life so kind of subconsciously blocking yourself from receiving money because you have this deep-rooted subconscious belief that money is bad because of what you've observed through it being a cause of arguments through your parents, who when you're a kid, you think that they need to be perfect all the time and never argue and it all to be sunshine, roses and white picket fences. But obviously that's not really always how life is. But what Stephen did that's really interesting is he created that belief that, you know, money causes arguments, but he turned that energy into, right, well, I want to get filthy, stinking rich so that I have enough money so that I don't have all these arguments and this stress that my parents were clearly endured through what they at the time were saying was money, because that's what they were arguing about. So when he was 18, because his podcast is called Diary CEO, so it's based like it's his journal. And he said when he was 18, he wrote in his diary, his journal, that he wanted to be a happy, sexy millionaire, which is actually the title of his book that he's bringing out. I think it's coming out this year. So he then went, he literally became a huge entrepreneur. I don't know if he's a billionaire, I'm not sure, but 100% a millionaire. And he literally grew this huge social media business at such a young age. I think he's 26 now, and he sold the business and stepped away from it. So literally from like the age of like 18 up until now, like he's still, I guess, an entrepreneur, but he was literally on this entrepreneurial journey, and his main driving force at the beginning was money, 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 wanted to accumulate massive wealth so that he didn't have to endure that life of arguments that he observed his parents with. So that's interesting. That's a bit of an anomaly, because people don't normally respond to their limiting belief in that way. But that was what was his driving force behind that belief system that he cemented from what he observed his parents doing when he was younger.
Yeah, I think money is a huge, huge one with limiting beliefs. Like, it's like whatever your parents kind of said around you is probably what you believe about money now. And I think as well, a huge one with money is like people can believe that money is hard to get if they see people work really hard and never seem to, always seem to struggle with money, but still seem to work very hard. And they can think that it's hard to attain money, or that like money is always at lack. Money is just a huge one when it comes to subconscious thoughts. So if anyone is interested in that, there are books and books, because the messages you will tell yourself regarding money, you'll be shocked at how much you can get yourself.
Yeah, because actually in society, there's a lot of just a general narrative around money that is always flying around quite casually, that you just absorb. And if you don't question it, then you're like, it's just within you, and you might not actually want to think those things. So like, you will have all heard, you know, people saying money doesn't grow on trees, things like that. And money is the root of all evil. And actually that's not true. Like, money is just freedom coins, it's just energy, it's just a tool to help you live the life that you want to live. It's an exchange in services, your work exchange in energy. If you give your energy to something, an employer, they'll give you money back so that you can then live the life that you want. Like, it's not it's painted out to be really negative, and like there isn't enough of it in the world, hence money doesn't grow on trees, which is a very common phrase. But actually, you can just step back and think, question that. Do I want to think that? Because that will actually be a big driving force in how you view money and your money mindset, which has got a big impact on how you handle your finances and how much money you have. But yes, like we said, there's loads of books, so you can go and read those. But money is just one of many things you can have limiting beliefs on. Like, you know, say for example, if you were at school and you were always put in like the bottom set, and you were labeled as like not academic, and obviously when you're in school, there's like one measure of success, which is to be academic. But if you're not, that doesn't mean that you are any less than somebody who is academic. People have skills in different areas. People flourish at different times. Like, people thrive in different environments because we're all unique, different humans. But the school system that we all currently go through is very one-dimensional. So if you were put in bottom sets and class is not academic, you might be in your adult life holding those labels as deep-rooted subconscious limiting beliefs that you aren't academic, and that you should your bottom set level, and that you aren't capable. And you might not even realize that you're going around carrying that that belief about yourself and the behavior that is driving from your limbic brain, your subconscious mind, the decision making that's driving, that's not an empowering belief to have. But you know, you probably don't really ever think about that or think about addressing that within your own mind, because I feel like when we leave school, we just kind of forget about school. But that's an example of how you might be limiting your own mind and your own potential.
Yeah, that one really gets me, because I feel like even being academically clever doesn't even mean everything. And that's basically what school is based on, the whole thing. And mm-hmm. as well, it's very much to do with that. I think it's as well what you tell yourself. Like if you tell yourself like, oh, I'm not academic, I'm quite stupid, I'm not clever, then that is going to be your reality. Like just if you didn't do well in your GCSEs or your A-levels or whatever, that does not reflect like who you are, absolutely, how clever you are. Yeah, that's just like a tiny part. That's just how you kind of performed on a test. It's like the smallest part of you. That's why I think it's quite sad that can really, like, people can take that throughout their whole lives. I think another one as well, like especially in relation to that as well, because it is kind of like living in the past in a way. So I think if you focus too much on your past instead of being in the present moment, you can create limiting beliefs, like such as something hasn't happened to me so far, so why would it happen to me in the future? But that's just using your past. It's not actually focusing on the present moment. Just because something hasn't happened, just because it like never came to you, it doesn't mean it's not going to come. But if you tell yourself that it's not going to come and that doesn't come for you and that's not your thing, then that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, like the mantra to oppose that is, my past does not dictate my future. So you might really be longing for something in your life, to manifest something, create something, but it's not happened at all in your life. So then you create that block and that you create a limiting belief purely from the experience that, well, I've been waiting for it for ages and it's still not happened. So clearly I'm not worthy of it and it's not going to happen. And you're allowing the experience of your past to create and write your future, but the past is gone. All you have is now. And we have the power to change and write our future through our thoughts in the present moment, which we will dive further into in this podcast.
Yeah, I think that also relates to like saying that you're not like those kind of people, because that's just actually reminding me that, especially in terms of like money. So my mum used to always say to me, I don't know if anyone's heard this one before, if she saw like, I don't know, like a massive grand house, or you're watching a film, there's like a mansion or something like that, she'd go, oh, how the other half live. Like that's what she'd always say to me. And now I think back about it and I think, like, why were you creating such a distance between them and yourself? Like only you will do that for yourself. Like obviously it's just a harmful comment, but when you think back to it and the kind of language you're using, it's actually really interesting.
Yeah, because that is just so casually thrown around, like that kind of conversation about money and wealth. And loads of people say it and will casually say it in conversation, and you don't even bat an eyelid at it. But when you actually start to really think about it, you're like, that's actually really weird, because money is just energy and it's just thing flowing around the world the same way that trees do and blades of grass. Like this, it's just energy. It's just a thing. But you can't, the same way, like if you have a lot of money, you can't then separate yourself from people that don't. Like we're all one, we're all the same. But anyway, that's just a whole nother ball game. But what was wanted to talk about next was, so you've uncovered your limiting beliefs, so you've had a little think and you've assessed and realized what they are. It's really important when you discover what they are to not become a victim to your beliefs. You need to recognize them, process them, pick them apart, create new beliefs that are like the opposite of them to cement into your subconscious mind, and move on. You can't stay in victim mode about it, because you can, like you just said there, like where your mum was saying, oh, how the other half live. Like so many people say things like that. If you were then to be like, oh, right, I've just realized all my money blocks and my money limiting beliefs all from my parents, and you get in victim mode and like blame them, it's not about them. This is all about you, and this is your life, your work. You need to, it's not about them. So don't even bring them into it. So, but through identifying your limiting beliefs, you may come to identify a memory of where it first started and that belief was first cemented into your mind. And it can be painful to revisit that, especially if it's quite a harsh limiting belief, maybe about your self-worth and things like that, and how lovable you are, things from your parents. Sometimes they can be quite painful experiences to revisit, but you cannot start putting the blame on the person who caused that. You just need to accept that it's your thing now, it's your work, you're taking control, you're taking responsibility, you're taking ownership of your life, and not get stuck in that victim mode. And you know, just, you know, like, accept that that happened. Like, there's a quote, do the best you can until you know better, then when you know better, do better. So think about that in terms of yourself, but also in terms of your, maybe your parents, if it was them that might have caused one of your limiting beliefs, because they were probably just doing the best they could at the time, because that's all we're all ever doing as humans, is doing the best that we know with what we know at that point. So have compassion for the person that maybe is a part of that painful memory, and but don't stay in that victim mode, because you can easily get stuck there once you uncover these deep-rooted subconscious beliefs, because they can be really mind-blowing, because you can be incredibly unaware that you didn't have them. And when you realize them, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that was holding me back for so long, and that it's caused from this memory with this person. How dare they make me think that? Actually, no, you'll get stuck there if you want to, you will get stuck there. So process it, create new beliefs, forgive the person, and move on with your life, because it's only going to hold you back. And that's a really important part of this limiting belief healing process, is not to get stuck there, because you can get stuck there.
Yeah. I think it's really important to remember as well that whoever kind of might put those limiting beliefs on you, they would have also had limiting beliefs that they might have got from somewhere else. That's why I really love the quote that says, hurt people and healed people heal people. And that doesn't mean necessarily like someone's intentionally gone to hurt you, but it means that they might have a belief that they might have got from their parents, or they might have got from school or something like that. And if they've not healed it within themselves, then they might have pushed that onto you, and now that's become your belief. But as Grace said, you've just got to have so much compassion and remember that they were doing their best with what they had at the time. They weren't intentionally doing it to hurt you or to create these limiting beliefs that are going to sabotage your life. They weren't doing it for that. They just didn't know any better. And now it's completely your responsibility to heal, so you can like propel into a better life. Like, of course, you can just like live in denial and you can totally ignore this, and you can just live in your own conscious mind now. Or if you are the kind of person that wants to level up your life, which you probably are if you listen to this podcast, then you can work on those subconscious beliefs and like fully take responsibility for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because literally limiting beliefs can be created by literally a passing comment from someone, and they at that point in time are saying it might have been having a really bad time. Not that excuses bad behavior and being mean, but you know, they might have not been in a great place, and they were doing all they knew with how to process their emotions at the time, which wasn't in a healthy way. But you know, that's the thing, you just got to look at them with compassion and forgiveness, and don't hold anything against anyone that you might realize was the cause of some of your limiting beliefs, and just move on. But you also need to have compassion for yourself. So as you uncover these beliefs, you might think, as if I was having that in my mind for so long, and I was letting that hold me back, and I was making these X, Y, Z bad decisions because of that unconscious, deep-rooted, limiting set of beliefs. You can then feel frustration towards yourself that you didn't even realize this was going on. Like, especially if you're someone who can like hold yourself to a high regard in sense of how you work on yourself and things like that, you might think like, oh, as if I let that get in my way, blah, blah, blah. But you got to have compassion for yourself as well, because this is how our brain works. Like, but if we understand how our brain works, then we can be empowered, and we can work with it, and we can take control and not be victims to our own suffering. We can be better. So got to have compassion for yourself as well, because you potentially may start to have like regrets and beat yourself up about things you behaved, how you behaved in the past based on your belief systems at that point. But again, you do the best until you know better. Then when you know better, you do better. And that's what we all do all the time. So don't beat yourself up either about how you may have behaved in the past.
Yeah. It's like the same how you wouldn't judge another person. Like, judgment doesn't come from a good place. So it's the exact same when it comes to yourself. Like, don't judge your past decisions, because exactly, we were just doing what we knew at the time. And as you learn and grow, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, like every single day we are reborn, like whether you like it or not, you are. And every single day you learn different things, you like, you experience a new life and you change so much. So I think the only way to move forward with compassion for yourself and to improve like your subconscious thoughts is to have love and compassion for your past decisions. Like, don't disregard that as like an old version of you that like did this and did that, and oh my god, it's so stupid, how did I not see that was like a limiting belief or something like that. Like, have so much compassion, because all those decisions got you right to this moment. So you can never look back and judge yourself, because you just gotta love yourself and all the decisions that you made.
Yeah, that's so true. And we've said this before, I think, in our episode about getting over a breakup, like where you're saying like you're reborn every single day into a new version of you, you've got to love all your past versions of you as well to fully love yourself and fully encompass that whole self-love vibe about you. You have to love and accept everything that's come before the person that you are today, every experience you've had, everything, decision you've made, even if you don't agree with it now, you've got to love that past version of you, because they were doing the best they knew at the time. Otherwise, you're just self-rejecting, which isn't good. But another thing with your limiting beliefs and not being a victim to them is that you need to have compassion for your own subconscious mind, because all it's trying to do is keep you safe. It's like survival instinct. It's literally just trying to keep you in your comfort zone. Keep it just to keep you safe. Like, that's what it's trying to do. So you can also think, when you uncover these beliefs, OMG, as if my own mind is holding me back this much. But you've got to know as well that it's just trying to keep you safe. It's just doing the best that it knows and keeping you within your comfort zone to protect you. So have compassion even for your own subconscious mind and how it operates. Because our society is very much run based on fear. We are a fear-based society. We make decisions, most of our decisions, we make them based on fear. So then you're always in survival mode. But if you aren't making your decisions based on fear, if you're making your decisions based on empowering beliefs, based on jumping and trusting that the universe is going to catch you and help you go where you need to go, then you're in creator mode. So like, often like our limiting beliefs, let's say you want to start a business. I always end up talking about this, but as an example, but let's say you want to start a business. You then will come up with a lot of subconscious limiting beliefs, maybe imposter syndrome around it. Usually it's your subconscious mind being instinctive and primitive, just trying to keep you safe. So if it tells you all these, reminds you of all these reasons why you shouldn't do this bold action that you're trying to do, then you won't do it, and you'll stay in what you know, in what you've already experienced, in what is safe and risk-free. Whereas if you're taking bold action, with bold action comes potential risk, but often bold action is worth this small percentage chance of like the risk factor of what you're doing, unless you're doing something really mental like skydiving, I don't know. But like, typically, like, it's the risk factor of maybe, like, you know, starting a business is funding or money or something like that. Usually the fact that maybe the investment might not pay off and you might lose a bit of money is a smaller risk factor compared to the gains of what you can get from taking that bold action. You could become the business person you want to be, create change in the world, have an amazing business that you're passionate about running and working for yourself. So there's all that to gain, but a potential risk that factor that you take on through doing that. So your subconscious mind will come up with these limiting beliefs and reasons about why you shouldn't do what these things that you truly desire to do, just to keep you safe, because it knows that. It knows there's potential risk. So you have to have compassion for that and think, thank you, subconscious mind, for trying to keep me safe. But it's okay. I can handle it. And go and take the bold action that you want to take anyway.
Oh my God, that is so powerful. Like, I literally love that. I feel like creator mode is basically outside of your comfort zone. And then obviously survival mode is your comfort zone. Because, you know, in that book that I'm reading at the minute, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, amazing book. She literally has this like whole chapter about how basically what you just explained, that if you're someone that pushes yourself out of your comfort zone and you open your heart and you open up all the possibilities, you're probably going to experience pain, like maybe more than the average person in their comfort zone. And you might experience heartache, you might experience more failures, but it's such a small price to pay for the gains that you get from living outside of your comfort zone. So like we were just saying there, your subconscious mind is trying to protect you. It can detect the pain. It can detect, oh no, but I might fail. Oh no, don't let this person in because they might break your heart. It's trying to protect you. But if you don't take the risk and leave out your comfort zone, then you're never going to experience all these riches of life. You're just going to live this pretty mundane life. Yeah, it's safe, but you're not going to experience all the amazing stuff that you really want to experience. So I think that's why you have to remember that when it's come to all these like little risky things, just remember your subconscious is trying to protect you, but you have to have compassion and say, actually, I am the master of my mind. I know what I want to do. I know that I can experience pain because I will handle it. I love how you just said that, Grace, because, you know, throughout this book, the whole time she references fear a lot, obviously, and she keeps saying, you will not fear anything if you always know that you will handle it, because you'll always handle it. You just have to remind yourself, I will handle it. So when your subconscious gets in the way and tells you you're not good enough, or no, don't take that option, it's too risky, don't invest in that, no, what are you doing? Just say, I will handle it. I can do this and I will handle it. And you can just control your outer reality.
Yeah, because often like we are great humans. We're really good at responding. Well, most of us are really good at responding to challenge and finding solutions and being thrown in at the deep end and just making it work. So like how many times have you actually, you know, done something that's caused a massive risk and loss and failure, and your life ends and you just give up on everything because it didn't work out, whatever. Like most of the time you adapt, you pivot, you make things work. We're like humans with a big, massive brain full of different processes that help us combat through difficult times. I mean, look at us now. We're in a bloody global pandemic and everybody's pretty much keeping it together, and we're just getting on, like doing our bit, doing what we need to do and keep going. Like we'll look back at this time in years to come and think, oh, we basically spent a year, because we're in lockdown now. I reckon it's probably going to run to like February, whatever. So it's basically a year that we've been in our house. It could potentially be longer because I'm sure the restrictions are going to carry on this year, but we will look back in a few years or like 10 years, or we'll tell our children about this, the generation to come after this. Oh yeah, there was a time in our lives where we all got basically made to stay in our house for like 2 years. But it was okay in the end, like we all made it through. Like that is huge adversity, but yet we are getting through this too. So we can handle it. So your subconscious mind is just trying to keep you in that survival mode to keep you safe, because it's predictable. You know what's coming, it's safe, but that is not where the life that you desire is. It's in creator mode. So create, step out that, take bold action. That's why whenever like my friends, you know, have dating problems, you know, they go on dates, things don't work out, go on a bad day, seeing somebody, like there's always, you know, it's not always, you know, plain sailing and the quest for love. And, but I always just say to them, that's okay. Like this didn't work out. Like, but pat yourself on the back because you've been brave. You put yourself out there. You went on that date. You put yourself out there. You opened your heart to potential love. And there's that quote, better to have loved and lost than never loved at all. So like, imagine like if you didn't do that, if you kept your, like, if we're talking about love, you kept your heart closed for your whole life and never allowed anybody to get close to you, then it'd be a bit boring, wouldn't it? Because you wouldn't be able to experience the riches of life that we truly all desire. And also, I heard someone break down the word intimacy today. It's really, it's interesting when people break down words because it just makes so much sense. But intimacy, into me, like seeing into me. And that's basically what it is. So, ooh. Yeah, I know. It really that's made good. Me like think when I heard that. But anyway, it's true. Just take bold action, guys. Live your life.
I also just want to say one more thing before we do move on and give you some banging tips. If you're thinking that you have a limiting belief, and like we were saying, you have to have so much compassion for the person that may have given you that belief. One thing that can really help is I read this thing today and it just got me in the feels. So everyone that's listening now, if you can think of someone or an event or something that you know you've probably got a limiting belief from, and you might feel like a little bit of anger, even if you try not, you feel a little bit of resentment towards them. Like referring back to what I said before, that hurt people hurt people. So on this little thing that I read today, it said, think of someone that you want to forgive, or that has like affected your life in a bad way. And then imagine them as like a 10-year-old with tears in their eyes, because their pain was just propelled onto you. Like, they didn't mean to do it. It's just that hurt people hurt people. And I was like, literally read it and I was like, oh my God, that just makes you realize that you have to have compassion, because everyone is doing like their best for what they can do at the time. Like, I know sometimes it's very hard to forgive people if they've really treated you wrong and you can't see like the positives in it, but just imagine that they got that pain from somewhere. It didn't come from like inside of them. Like, it's all from circumstance. So as long as you have compassion for that person, it's really going to help you have compassion for yourself.
Very true. Very true. So let's move on to how to rewire your subconscious mind. Some practical tips that you can start implementing straight away to start rewiring these limiting beliefs that are not serving you. So a way to actually like identify as well, if you've got limiting beliefs, if you're still kind of thinking, I don't even know what mine are, it's like, what's your language? So I don't mean stop swearing and saying naughty words, but I mean, watch what you're saying. How do you speak? How do you talk about yourself? Like, you know, you can have, like, for example, in conversation, you could start to mock yourself and make fun of yourself before anybody, because you think it's like a protection thing. You think, if I take the piss out of me before anybody else has a chance to do it, like, I've already done it. So that it's easier for you to obviously deal with the pain of you mocking yourself than somebody else doing it. So if you, that would be linked to like a limiting belief of not being enough and being, I don't know, stupid or whatever, that you'd then be criticized and mocked. So if you do that, if you're one of those, you make yourself the butt of the joke in the conversation, that is a big sign of some deep-rooted self-worth limiting beliefs.
Yeah, I feel like this as well is a huge pill to swallow, because I feel like correcting the language that you use every day is really, really hard. Like, it sounds very simple, but it's actually not, because we've been saying certain things our whole lives, and all of a sudden we have to change what we're saying. But I think it's so important. And yeah, like we said there, then you're kind of like getting there, like mocking yourself first, but then it's like even more mean because you're saying that to yourself. The one that, we'll go into some examples of this, but one that I've really knuckled down on the kind of language I'm saying to myself, because one of the main things I think we're saying to yourself is that you can be like, God, I'm so stupid. Like that is like, it almost makes me cringe, like when people say that, but like years ago, I would have thought nothing of that. But one thing that I started saying like a few years ago is like, if I do something silly, I go, God, why am I like this? And I just start doing it all the time. And then recently I've been like, why do I say that? I'm literally like, it's so negative. I'm basically just like calling myself like an absolute dimwit, like just for like dropping something. So now I've stopped saying that. Like, well, every time I go to say it, I'm like, stop it. I'm wonderful. I don't have to say, why am I like this? Like, what a horrible thing. You wouldn't say that to your friend, why are you like this? So don't say that to yourself.
It's so true. And when you like really start to reflect on your own language and catch yourself saying things like that, you're like, oh my God, you feel a bit embarrassed that you say that to yourself out loud in front of other people. But again, back to the quote, you do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, you do better. So don't judge yourself, because you will 100% be using certain things in your speech that is not empowering to you and actually will link back to a limiting belief that you have. But don't judge yourself for it, guys. You know,
that's very true.
We're all doing better. So don't feel like, if you notice that, because yeah, I mean, the more that you dive into the world of like personal development, self-development, and commit to trying to better yourself and improve yourself and progress through life, you will, of course, evolve and change and start to do things, start to stop doing things that you used to because it's not serving you anymore. But, and that's fine. So loving your past self and embracing everything that you've done, even if you don't agree with it anymore, but just let it go. Don't judge yourself, because judgment is not good. So on the topic of watching your language, a really effective way to rewire your subconscious mind is affirmations. So affirmations are like affirming sentences. So an affirmation, you're affirming what it is that you're saying. So you're affirming it into your subconscious mind, you're sinking it in. You're obviously, it's something that you repeat consistently, or a mantra you repeat. And it creates new neuro pathways in your brain. Like we were talking about the neuroscience before, your brain is the only muscle in your body that has the potential to transform. Like you've got other muscles in your body, like you can go to the gym, lift some weights and flex your biceps, and that bicep muscle will grow, but it's not going to transform and change its function. Like it's always just going to be a bicep muscle. However, your brain can change its thoughts, the patterns, the results it's creating, the function. Like your brain's the only one who you can actually change the shape, change the way that it works through rewiring, creating new positive thought patterns. And affirmations are a really, really good way to do this. Is you say you have a certain issue, like not issue, you know, your limiting beliefs are about a certain area of your life, you can create affirmations that literally combat the limiting beliefs you have. So they're the complete opposite of what you actually believe about yourself. And you say them to yourself every day, or however many, I don't know, every week, whatever you want to do. You just constantly repeat them to yourselves every now and then, and it will sink into your mind and become a new thought pattern, and you'll just start saying that to yourself instead, and it changes how you feel. They're so powerful.
Yeah, it's literally fascinating. And neuroplasticity, this was only discovered 50 years ago, so I think it's crazy that people, like, how long have we been on this planet? Like, I don't know how long, but absolutely ages, right? And we've only discovered 50 years ago that we can rewire our brains. Like, that is nutty. I feel like that's why, like, the law of attraction has been around for a good while, but it's like it's blowing up, and you probably notice that you're seeing more and more of it because it's backed by science, and you can literally rewire your brain through stuff like affirmations. I feel like people probably, like, in the past thought, what the hell are affirmations? But now there's proof that you can rewire your brain. Like, why would you not want to do that?
Exactly. So I love to tell myself empowering mantras that are the opposite of the things I my subconscious mind tells me about myself. It's very fun. And honestly, it works. It absolutely works. So there's so many ways you can do it. You could write them in when you're journaling, you could just write them down. You could print them out. You could write them on post-it notes and stick them in places you're going to see them, like on your mirror, on your fridge. Or if you don't want anyone to see them, you can also like listen to them. So plug on our website, you probably heard us talk about this. We have affirmation place. And the reason why we created these was because we are so passionate about the power of them. We have done this research. We fully understand the depths of our brain, like in terms of the subconscious mind, everything we've just told you all about. We're so passionate about this, and we're so passionate about the power of your subconscious mind, and how if you understand how it works, make the effort to rewire it and instill it with a brand new software of a more empowering, positive software, the changes that that can create in your life to create the results you actually want to see. So that is why we made these affirmation playlists. And we literally made them all for different areas of your life, because we know that everyone's got limiting beliefs about different things. We don't all have them about every area of our life. You might feel great about one area of your life, but not so great about another. So we've created affirmation playlists that are specific. So we've got Career and Self-Belief, which is a very popular playlist. I think and the anxiety one is our best sellers. So the Career and Self-Belief are all affirmations that are all really empowering about knowing you're worthy of your success, the life you desire, and that you can make it happen. Anxiety, you know, speaks for itself. It's all about calming the mind, reducing the stress, creating new pathways in your brain that aren't anxious, rewiring how you think about anxiety, kind of making more friends with it, understanding it, being more compassionate with it. There's so many. There's body positivity, self-love, relationships. If you want to attract more love into your life, you want to rewire how you think about love, because a lot of people can be blocked about love. Like, oh, we've got so many on there. And we've also got a personalized affirmation service. So if you have limiting beliefs that are specific, that you want affirmations specifically written for, because me and Abby, I'm going to say we've got talent for writing mantras, or affirmation playlists, even though we wrote them and I know exactly what they say, when I listen to them, I get hit in the feels. Like, I feel the fully effects of them. Like, they're everything that you need to hear. Yeah, because I feel like we've got a gift of writing mantras. So we also have the personalized affirmation option. So you can literally tell us what you want the mantras to be based around, and we will record them. And we put them behind this really nice, high vibrational, relaxing, meditation-y piano music that's really good for the sinking into subconscious mind. So it's very easy to listen to. You can passively listen to it when you're driving your car, you put your makeup on, or you can do it like after a meditation, whenever you want, when you wake up, before you go to bed, up to you. But they're very, very easy way to absorb the affirmations very passively, so that they can really just go straight into your subconscious mind and really make big, big changes. We are obsessed. And that is why we created the website, so that we could have them on there, because we want to give this gift to you guys, because we know how much it works.
Yeah, they're literally incredible. And I think the most powerful ones are probably the personalized one, because basically me and Grace like sat down and we planned all the different affirmations, and they're all absolutely fabulous. But then I was so inspired that I like thought, what do I really want affirmations on? So then I created my own affirmations, and obviously we have the personalized one. So if you are someone like me that really, like, you know what you want to work on and you really want to knuckle down on it, then the personalized one is really great. And also just some like two quick reviews, so you know. So one of our ones actually made someone cry. And then another one, yeah. My friend might not like me saying this, but she told me that she listens to it every time she goes for a wee. And I thought, that's really just amazing. Like, what else would you want to listen to while you have a wee?
Yeah, and how often do you go for a wee? You do that exactly. A lot in the day, unless you're not drinking enough water. So that is a lot of time to listen to affirmations. That's good. That's habit stacking. So that's attaching a new habit to an existing habit. So obviously, you're always going to go for a wee. You're never going to not do that. It's an essential part of being a human. Anyway, if you attach a habit to that existing deeply cemented action that you already do, that's very powerful. So I like that. I rate it.
Yeah, it's like changing your life one wee at a time.
Affirmations, very, very powerful. And obviously you can go check them out on our website if you want to get some from us. Must say, they're very beautiful. Findingyourfeetpodcast.com is the website. The link is in the show notes if you want to check it out, or come to our Instagram and you'll find them on there. And another way of how to rewire your brain, because there's a few ways. Another way is to take bold action against your limiting beliefs. So I don't mean like start beating up your limiting beliefs, but I mean, take bold action that is the opposite of what your limiting beliefs are telling you can do. So going back to the example of starting a business, all your limiting beliefs are, you can't do this, you haven't got the skills to do it, you will fail, you give up now, because you just quit while you're ahead, because it isn't going to work. So that's what your subconscious mind's doing. So it wants to keep you safe, comfort zone, survival mode. But that's not what you want. You want creator mode. So take bold action by just do it, just start it, and you have then physical evidence of you doing exactly the opposite of what your subconscious mind, your limiting beliefs are telling you that you can't do. You've got physical evidence of you doing it. So that'll just make them literally go, disappear, because it's like, well, I've done it now. So clearly you're wrong. And they'll walk out the door with their tail in between their legs. But, but in life, we put so much weight on things that we can see, hear, touch, things that we can process and see right in front of our eyes in our physical reality. We put so much weight on that. We don't actually put that much weight on our thoughts, the power of our thoughts and our mind, and how we can create new experiences and change our life just through changing our thoughts. We put way more weight on the physical thing because we can see it. So we can think, right, well, it's there. So it's real. We just give it way more weight. So that is why if you take bold action as the opposite of what take bold action that is the opposite of your limiting beliefs, you then have that really clear physical evidence that you've done exactly what you thought you couldn't do. So then every time, if that limiting belief does come, if it didn't walk out with its tail in between its legs and it just sat back down on its chair, but it stayed there and it pops back up again in the future, you can just say, yeah, but I did prove you wrong because I did this. So sit back down. So yeah, so that is that's a good way to combat your limiting beliefs as well.
I love how we're like putting these limiting beliefs into a little physical form. I feel like that helps. Just imagine them.
Yeah, it honestly does.
Yeah, trying to gas ourselves up, and you're like, actually, no, I've already proved you wrong. You sit down or you get out. Just imagine that each time you think of a limiting belief. I also think with that as well, it in kind of like facing up to your fears and just doing something. It reminds me of also in the book, which was, it's very, very simple, but when you read it, you think that's so true. If there's something like a limiting belief that's holding you back to do a certain thing and you feel like you fear that thing and you're kind of like dictating your life based on the fear, the only way you can get rid of that fear for whatever it is to do the thing. Because if you don't, the fear, you might convince yourself that, oh, I don't need to do that, blah, 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 but the fear is always going to stay. So the only way to push past a fear is to do the thing. So that 100% mm-hmm. links to that, because anything, you need to go and take the bold action. If you have the fear, feel the fear and do it anyway. And that's the only way the fear will go. And then you'll move on to something bigger and you'll have fear again, but you do it again. And you're proving to yourself every single time that you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And one more way that you can rewire subconscious mind is therapy. So obviously, sometimes your limiting beliefs can be very deep rooted. You could be having like serious blocks in your life, feel like you're in a rut, you can't move forward, you're just not feeling right. And actually, sometimes going to a therapist and just speaking about generally the blocks that are going on in your current reality can then help you uncover the deep-rooted subconscious blocks that are causing that. Because sometimes it can be hard to identify them by ourselves, because it's not really something that your friends could, unless you've got like really self-aware friends that could pull out of you. So actually talking to a professional, non-judgmental professional who you can go and be incredibly open with, and they know exactly what they're doing and they can prompt you to pull that information out of you to help you have these big realizations and realize what your beliefs are and what's blocking you and what's not serving you can be very, very powerful, because our belief systems, we create a lot of the things that we believe in our subconscious mind when we're really young, like from the age of 0 to it's like 6 or 7. So it might be quite hard to remember the things that happen then. And if they're painful as well, you might have really locked them away, because our mind literally locks away painful memories because it's too painful for us to process. So then if you put yourself into a situation with like a therapist where you feel relaxed and safe to open up, and you know that you're not going to be judged, and you're going to get the help that you need, you can end up unlocking those painful memories that maybe you didn't even realize were in there, and you can have really big breakthroughs. So yes, sometimes it's not something that you can do all by yourself, and that's okay. We all need our teachers. So yeah, therapy is very very good way to uncover those really deep rooted ones, and, you know, help you with the process of processing them as well. Because if they are deep rooted, and attached to a really painful memory associated with somebody that caused a lot of pain, that can be hard to deal with. But if you've got a therapist there, it's a professional that can guide you through it, you can move through that healing process a lot quicker and get to where you need to be. So you guys know we've got a sponsor, BetterHelp, who are a online therapy company. So, I mean, you can go there, but you can go wherever you want, just generally therapy from whoever in whatever form is incredibly beneficial when it comes to things like this.
Yeah, for sure. It's an investment, but it's something that will pay off so much. Yeah. So if you feel like
big time.
Yeah, if you feel like you need it, then just go for it. Don't even think about it. Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah, because I think some people are scared to go to therapy. I actually personally love it because I'm like, I get to sit with someone for an hour, talk to them about everything that's going on in my brain, and they can't. The only thing they're allowed to do is listen to me and talk back about what I'm talking about. Like, so it's an hour of full devoted attention to you, to helping you. Why would you not want that? I know that some people don't like having attention on them, whatever. But I it's great. Like, it's fun.
No, you know why you might really enjoy it? Because I read a thing the other day and it was explaining that when people physically talk about themselves, it releases like a chemical in your brain, which is obviously like good for like healing and stuff. So that's why therapy is so effective and why you probably enjoy it, because you are literally releasing chemicals in your brain that like make you feel good by sharing and stuff like that. I was like, that makes so much sense because it is so healing and refreshing sometimes to just dump your thoughts out, especially to someone that like doesn't know anything about you. Then that's what's different with therapy.
Yeah. I rate it. I love a bit of therapy. Beautiful experiences through therapy. I got hypnotized once. That was bloody amazing. But yeah, so much fun. So that is the other ways that you can rewire subconscious mind. So just recap: affirmations, taking bold action against your limiting beliefs, so to do the opposite of what they're telling you, and therapy.
Yeah, some really great tools there.
So to close up this episode, it's been a juicy one, a lot of information, a lot to take in. We're just going to finish with the quote of the week. So it is: the moment we take radical responsibility for our lives and how we want to live, everything shifts. So the power is in your hands when it comes to your subconscious mind. You can shy away and not look what's in there and keep potentially self-sabotaging without even realizing, or you can take radical responsibility and create the life that you desire, being creator mode rather than survival mode.
Yeah, I think that's like the main message from this episode, is to just take responsibility and start today. Even if this is day one taking responsibility, just start where you are and improve what you can, and just don't act a victim. Just know that it's all down to you. And you power. You got it.
You can do it. You got it.
Yeah, this is all very heavy information, isn't it? But
yeah,
the main
very
thing working on this is going to, like we said at the start, it is going to improve your life, and you will notice, like especially with the affirmations, like you will notice such changes in your life. So
yeah,
it's worth thinking about.
It really is. And also, like, just to recommend some books on this, because a book that really planted the seed for me to start thinking about what was going on deep in my subconscious was You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. Is that how you say her surname?
I think Jen Sincero. It's definitely got like a, because I actually Googled it the other day. It's Jen Sincero.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because she's American, but she's Italian. Anyway, she's got a really good book, How You Are a Badass. And then she's also got You Are a Badass at Making Money. And that one's specifically about money mindset and like maybe your limiting beliefs around money. But I'd start with You Are a Badass, because that's just general empowering book. And it's so much about limiting beliefs. That's what really sparked off me fully, like, you know, starting to understand my own and learn more about this. So we'll link the books in the show notes so that you can go and get them wherever you want to buy them. But really recommend those if you are interested in what we've said today and you want to start doing this work on yourself. That book is a great place to start. And obviously the book that Abby was just talking about, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers, another good one. So we will link that in the show notes as well.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We really, really hope you enjoyed this heavy episode with lots of information in. But there's lots to take away, so maybe just go and have a think about it and start uncovering those limiting beliefs.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening. And well done if you've got this far in the episode and taking it all in. Follow us if you're listening on Spotify. Subscribe if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. We release episodes every single Wednesday. Leave us a review as well if you're on Apple for your chance to be featured in the review of the week next week. And also, if you'd like to watch our podcast on YouTube, you can. We post all our episodes on YouTube as well, so you can watch them as well as listen to them. Our channel name is Finding Your Feet, the podcast, linked in the show notes if you want to check that out. And come and follow us on Instagram at Finding Your Feet Podcast. That is where our community is. That's our main hub. That's where you'll find us every single day, always posting on there. Love connecting and chatting with you guys on Instagram, the DMs, the comments. Love hearing what you think about the show. So do come and follow us on there and chat to us. And we've also got a mailing list. So we email you every single Monday morning with a positive, wisdom-filled email. It's not marketing. It's just a general positive story, food for thought email every single Monday morning. So if you want to subscribe and sign up to that as well, link is in the show notes. But thank you very much for listening. And we will see you next Wednesday.
Bye.